Hey there, we are Rob and Joanna Tigan. Welcome back to the Growing Home Together podcast. We've been married for over 30 years and we've parented our five kids through all the ages and stages. We're excited to share our passion for caring for the soul of your family with you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Growing Home Together podcast today. You know, I think a lot of us could sit and write a wish list of just all the things that we might change about our life right now. I mean, maybe you would be wishing for a break from the winter weather, or you wish your spouse was more understanding or more romantic, or maybe you wish your toddler would just knock off the tantrums, or that your teenager would look up from their phone for once. Or maybe you wish your job just wasn't such a grind, or that your paycheck could keep on pace with the bills coming in. The question we want to tackle today, though, is how, even with a wish list of very real problems or real hurts, we can still take hold of joy in our heart and in our families.
To help us with that question today, we are so glad to welcome back to the podcast Tama Fortner. Tama is a best-selling writer, both in her own name and as a behind-the-scenes author and a collaborator with well-known authors to create inspirational books for all ages. She has authored a beautiful new book titled Everyday Joys Devotional that invites us to experience God in our real day-to-day lives. So thank you, Tama, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, well, Tama, I know we've got a little bit in common because we're both wives and we're both moms and we both are dog moms, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So we were hoping you could just tell us a little bit more about your family and what led you to write your devotional, Everyday Joys.
Yeah, so my family is my husband, Jeff, and I, and we've been married for 25 years now. We have two children, Lauren, who is grown and married and off on the other side of town and doing great, and Kaylor, who is finishing up college in another year. And so we're semi sort of empty nesters. And so I have adopted a dog as my surrogate child because we moms all need somebody to mother, I guess. That's kind of where we are in this stage of life. So I was actually led to write Everyday Joys because of a less than joyful time, actually a really difficult time. We were in the throes of a global pandemic. Everything that my family and I had planned was up in the air, was dealing with some changing relationships, dealing with some empty nest feelings. My grandmother grew ill and passed away. I lost my dog. And my mom was struggling with some health issues. Everything was changing, and everything that was changing was out of my control. And honestly, my life was starting to feel like a country music song. And even though I'm from Nashville and love country music, I was not loving the way things were and was having a hard time seeing God in my situations. And so I'm just out for a walk one morning, feeling rather desperate. And I'm like, God, please, I just need to see you. I need to see a hint of your joy so that I can make it through this. And God answered that prayer instantly. And honestly, that does not usually happen for me. But he opened my eyes in that moment to see the wonders of his creation all around me. The things like the birds that never escape his notice. And I realized in that moment that he was there with me. And I began to see my life and the world around me in a different way. And there's these intersections of what I call ordinary and divine, where God steps into the ordinary moments of our life and makes his presence known. And that filled me with a joy, a strength, his strength, that helped me navigate that really less than joyful time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I think before we jump in too deep, it would be great to get maybe a definition of joy from you. What makes joy different than just feeling happy?
Yeah, so I think of happiness as very circumstance dependent. You know, it's that giddy sort of woohoo feeling when everything is going your way and you're up on top of the mountain and it's just fabulous and you're just excited. But joy is different. Joy is that sustaining strength that somehow, some way, someday, you know, everything is going to be okay because God is with you through it all. It's that Nehemiah verse about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And even though you might not feel giddy and over the top happy in the moment, you can be joyful and you can notice things to be grateful about because you know that He is with you and for you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I was thinking that I used to have this idea that joy was something you receive from God, kind of like a gift that I had to unwrap to enjoy it, you know? But in your book, you offered kind of this whole other way of looking at it, because while joy is a gift from God, yes, it is. We don't just get joy from God. It's something that we experience with God, which is a whole other thing. So could you share a little with us about how you felt in that relationship with Him?
God is, you know, it's been a process. Let me start with that. This knowledge that God is always with me is not something that I've always had. I think it's something that we grow into as Christians, and I'll be growing into my whole life through. But there's a peace that comes with knowing that you're not in this alone. Whatever comes your way, whether everything's going your way on a certain day or everything's going wrong, that you're not in it alone. And that it just has a power and a strength that helps me to keep going. I may not have answered your question there. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, you did. So, yeah, how would you say that the way that you pursue closeness with God looks a little different today than maybe in your past?
So the foundation, I think, of my faith walk is always staying in His Word. But I came across a book a few years ago called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And it opened my eyes to see how God is a constant in our lives. He's not just there when we're meeting with Him in the Bible or when we're praying, but He's always there and always to be found. And so it's like that prayer from Elisha when he prayed for his servant to see the presence of God all around them. And so I'm praying for God to open my eyes to see Him has really changed the way I approach everyday life. He's just always there. I don't know quite how to explain it, but and seeking Him and that promise that He's always found is something that I found to be true. And it's just as simple as a prayer of, Lord, open my eyes, or saying His name brings His presence back into my mind. Not that He's ever left me, but maybe I've left Him or stepped away. And just saying His name or saying that prayer brings me back into a perspective that He's got this day and that He's dropping evidences of His presence into my day all along the way if I'll just open my eyes to see them.
Yeah, I love that because I think, and maybe this kind of builds on it, but I know for me, I tend to focus on the gap between where I'm at and where I want to be. And instead of celebrating kind of where, you know, what God's doing right now or celebrating what's going on right now, I worry too much about, you know, getting to the end result. And so how can I interrupt that mental cycle and find joy and contentment in the in-between?
That is the question for us all, isn't it? The last few months, years, maybe, I've been ending my prayers with a phrase, and it's something that I cling to throughout the day, is God is good, and He is Lord of all, and He is in control. So even when things aren't going the way I've planned, and, you know, how often do they really go the way I've planned, I can trust His goodness. I can trust His faithfulness, and I can trust that He's in control and working all of this out for my good. Even though it might not feel good at the moment, you know, it's for my eternal good. And it's hard trusting that sometimes, but He's never let me down.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Rob and I have talked about this recently, just the help that we find in remembering. I mean, all through Scripture, God is constantly saying, remember what I did, remember what I did, remember who yes. I was, even to previous generations, just remember, and then tell your kids so they can remember. And I think, yeah, cultivating that habit of even remembering that if God was faithful and kind and loving and everything that I needed yesterday, He's not going to disappoint me today, right?
Right. And I love that sharing the remembering with our kids. That's something I think I have neglected. But just the other day, I was sharing a story with my son about how when I had to leave work early for trouble with my pregnancy, God was so faithful to provide a paycheck from a writing situation that just exactly matched the paycheck I was missing. And my son was like, wow. And just helping him to see the faithfulness of God in our lives. I mean, I think that's something we need to be more, and I need to be more intentional about, is passing along those remembrances to my children.
That's good. Yeah, thank you. And speaking of children, I would say as a wife and a mom that, it feels like it's the issues at home, whether between Rob and me or between me and the kids or seeing my kids go through something difficult. Those things probably threaten my sense of joy more than anything else that's going on in my life. So, do you have any insight into how to live with joy even when there's conflict or even when our kids are going through a tough season of growing up?
Those are the struggles, aren't they? I mean, it's one thing for we as moms to be hit personally, but when you mess with our kids or our families or our homes, then that can really throw everything up in the air. I think it comes back to prayer. And prayer can be not just sitting down and praying at that one quiet time or at church, but it's a conversation without end. It's for me, it's just, Lord, what's a girl to do? You know, Lord, how do I handle this? And those little, I think someone once called them bullet prayers, are what help keep me in the right frame of mind when I face those situations. Not doing it perfectly at all. Oh my goodness. It's also lots of, Lord, I messed that up. Please fix, please forgive me. But just taking everything back to him. And then, as you said before, remembering how he's brought us through. That's the key, I think.
Yeah, that's good. And it makes me think of one of your devotionals in the book called Waiting Well. And I know in my own life and as I talk to friends, it seems like waiting is really puts our joy to the test. And people are waiting for that job promotion or that new job, or they're waiting for their prodigal child to return home, or in the case of my daughter and son-in-law, they're waiting for their daughter to sleep through the night so they can get some sleep, and so how would you say in those waiting periods, what is the secret to holding on to joy in the not yet times of life?
I believe that life is a journey, and it's learning to find the evidence of God, the joy along the way. I think we can get obsessed with the end goal sometimes, the sleeping through the night, the having the prodigal return, the getting the new job. But if we pause and always pray, but just pause and ponder along the way, that baby, waking you up at 2 a.m., there are some precious moments that I remember rocking my children back to sleep at 2 in the morning. And it's hard, but there's also that joy in the moment of holding your little one in a sleeping moment. There's also, you're waiting for your prodigal to come home, and there are the moments when they say, oh, thank you, Mom, for this, or thank you, Dad, for this. And you see that seed you planted long ago beginning to sprout a little bit. And it's just opening your eyes to see that steps are being made towards your goal, that maybe you're not there yet, but God has got this, and you're getting there.
Yeah, I like, and I think that's what I really appreciated about your devotional is I think there was a lot of, and I guess that's the nature of a devotional too, but you talk a lot about the importance of kind of slowing down and listening and looking, and we don't in our busy culture, we don't often slow down and look at what is happening because, like you said, we're so quickly trying to get to the end result or get through the task or that oftentimes we create that anxiety and that lack of joy a lot in ourselves just by not slowing down in the moment and seeing what God's doing, even in the crazy.
Yes. And I think it is also possible to, quote unquote, slow down in the midst of the crazy. There are so many tasks, at least in my day, that are just routine and mindless, and my hands and feet can be busy. But instead of letting my mind just go wherever, I can turn those to God and to thinking about where He is in this process. And that has really helped me. Another thing I think is laying out my to-do list before God and say, God, what is really necessary? What can I take off? Because our culture just is so fascinated with busyness and filling up every moment that I think we need to let Him sort our priorities sometimes.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, one thing I love about you is how you describe joy in your house, because you make it sound like joy is something that's contagious. I mean, you really do. I love that. So how would you say that your own discovery of joy that kind of sparked this book, how did that change not just you, but maybe even the culture of your home? And if you have any insights on how we can cultivate joy in our family life too.
You know, I think a big part of joy is tied to love and appreciation. And when we love and appreciate the people in our lives, that impacts them and creates a joy that they know this house is where we laugh, we do life together, we love, period, without question. And that kind of safety net creates its own kind of joy. It may not always be happy. We have our moments, like every family does. You really didn't take the trash out again. But but just that safety, I think, of knowing that you are loved no matter what, and looking for ways to show that love, whether it's fixing a favorite meal, singing a favorite song, or just noticing what someone did. I mean, I think it all just boils down to kindness in a way.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of been fun lately to just see that play out a little bit at our house because, man, we have had the weather and we have daughters who drive, and they went out there, and one of our daughters in particular, she was completely overwhelmed by how much snow was just burying her car. And she knew that even at her age, she could come in and ask her daddy, and he was going to go out there and help her scrape that thing off and get her mm-hmm. out on the road. And just, I think, yeah, that kind of assumption of kindness and that assumption that we're just for each other, even in the little things, that goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does. And you know, it sounds so simple, but I think it's something we take for granted. About a year or so ago, my daughter came back to me, and as I said, she's grown and off on her own now, but and thanked us for having that kind of home because so many of her friends did not. And the power of that kind of security in their lives, it just cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I love that. And I think that sometimes as parents, we forget that we can really set the tone in our home, and that oftentimes we have our kids watching and listening to whether we're focusing on the negative or the positive. And I know one way Joanne and I are always trying to keep our hearts right is through praying together. And so when we take time to, you know, really step away and pray, we can take all the junk and all that heaviness to God and lay it before Him. And I know you've touched on this a little bit, but how would you say prayer plays a part in our joy?
I mean, it's essential. We humans on our own just mess stuff up. Me on my own, I just mess stuff up. But when I invite God into the process, when Jeff and I as a couple, or the four of us as a family, now five of us, I have to keep adding my son-in-law in. When we bring God into it with us, you know, He's able to smooth off the rough spots. He's able to help us see what really matters. And prayer is just essential. There's just no other word for it.
Right. And I know that prayer isn't something that maybe every couple has really been able to experience together, there can be a lot of inhibitions or maybe even different, contrasts in the way that their own personal relationship with God is looking in a season. And I also know there's a lot of couples who are feeling distant from each other, or they wonder, are we even on the same team anymore in this thing? Right. So yeah. What would you, maybe just one word that you could tell the couple today who's maybe struggling to find joy because they are in a rough season of disconnection in their marriage?
Start praying together. Start seeking God together. I mean, when you bring that relationship from a two person situation into a three person situation with God in the center, it changes everything. It's hard. There are times when Jeff and I are closer and times when we're farther apart, and getting over that hurdle can be a challenge. It can be hard to be vulnerable. But I once heard someone say the good stuff is on the other side of the hard. So just start one little step. Hold a hand and say, thank you, God, for this meal. Thank you for this day. Just start.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I think it sounds simple, but but it's so true. Joanne and I can remember there was a period several years ago where Joanne and I felt like we had to be more intentional about our prayer time together. And so we picked a place and a prayer garden at our church at the time. And we would go there every week, and it with not really an agenda, so to speak, or a time frame, but we would just start. And it started with very short prayers.
Yes.
But after a time of just being consistent with that, we were amazed when we'd look at the clock and like, wow, we've been praying over an hour, and it just became an important time for us and important, but yeah, there's all those hurdles, those mental hurdles. And so starting is the way to go. what I really love about the devotional, is it did really just help, me pause and remember that ultimately, God is with us and He loves us and He wants to be with us. And so, can you just kind of tell us what you're hoping the reader will experience when they sit down with your devotional?
I am hoping that the reader will realize he or she, they are not the only one feeling these things, that life is hard, but that we never have to go it alone. And even in the hard times, God is there and He is wanting to show you that He is there. If we just stop for a moment and open our eyes to see and ask Him to open our eyes, He's so ready to help. And how often we forget that, how often I forget that and try to go off and do these things on my own. But He is so ready to help. And all we have to do is ask.
Thank you for that. And one element of it is the reflection questions that you curated, because they really just give us a tool to kind of open our eyes to see how God's love is active around us. And then you also include prayers that I feel like are almost like conversation starters with God. I love them. So would you be willing right now to pray for all of us who really do want to draw closer to God and maybe take hold of joy in a whole new way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lord God, thank you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy. We, Lord, love you and we need to see you. Please open our eyes. Please help us to remember your faithfulness. Please help us to see the joys that you sprinkle into each and every day. Lord, guide us ever closer to you, ever nearer. Please help us to remember that you truly are good, that you are God, and that you are in control, and that you only want goodness in our lives, the goodness of you. In your holy, holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. And, I know the listeners are going to want to get a hold of Everyday Joys devotional. So where can people go and connect with you online to get a copy of this or even some of your other great resources. I know Mason, my son, and I went through your devotional twice, actually. Okay. He wanted to go through it again. And so I know you've got a lot of great resources. So where can people find you?
So I'm at tamafortner.com. You can find links to all the books, all the socials there, and to Everyday Joys. That's available at all your local and online book retailers. So yeah, I hope they'll look me up and connect.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll be sure to put as many links in our show notes as we can, so you're super easy to find.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Tama, before we close, is there just any last word that you would like to leave with us?
I would say, look for God today. He's there, just waiting for you to see him.
That's great. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Tama. It was been really encouraging.
Thank you again for having me.
Yes, thanks, Tama. And thank you, friends, for joining us today. Rob and I would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com, where you're going to find all kinds of resources like the 101 Prayer Series to help you connect with God in prayer for your kids, for your marriage, and even just for your own spirit. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Growing Home Together podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and found some valuable insights to help you care for the soul of your family. Remember to check out growinghometogether.com for more resources and stay tuned for our next episode coming your way soon.